He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
You're welcome very much. Okay, is everybody happy?
With people like Nancy, we built the largest airline in the free world.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much.
I think Nancy's taking the bus.
I think she is too.
All right, they grounded all their planes. I see they have just ended their ground stop. I mean, what happened? Did somebody hack into the computers of the Friendly Skies? Do we know, Nomly?
We don't, but that's an awfully good guess. LOT Airlines, which is the Polish Airlines, had a similar incident happen to them last month. Someone hacked into their system, so it could be the exact same thing here.
It just shows you how vulnerable we are in this modern age, that a skilled computer hack, it could be some kid in his parents' basement with a trusty MacBook, can humble an airline. They're writing boarding passes by hand. But evidently the ground hold, where they keep all the planes from leaving the gate where possible, and if they've already left the gate, they sit on the runway. So imagine if it were you flying from here to Chicago or vice versa, just stuck on the tarmac for 3 hours wanting to kill somebody. Well, if it's more than that, if it's something more interesting, we'll get back to it. I also want to probe this weekend's obsession over the horrible murder committed by the 7-time convicted, 5-time deported illegal alien in San Francisco, illegal immigrant. I broke my own rule about using that phrase, that odious phrase, illegal alien, but the illegal immigrant, the undocumented immigrant, 7-time convicted, 5-time deported. And as I knew it would, as soon as I heard about it, it's galvanized those who believe that the undocumented are the root of all evil. So I definitely want to discuss that at more great length and depth, and talk about also how Bill the Pill Cosby, what's going on with Cosby. I was going to do the homeless. I think I may if we have time later on. But let me start. I want to start with a personal note. A dear friend and great man died yesterday, 77 years old. Jerry Weintraub was his name. He was my first agent. He was my guide in the early stages of my career, a mentor. He was really a friend for life. He had one of the great reputations in show business. He was the most trusted man in Hollywood. I think that's fair to say. Hugely successful producer. He was a confidant to presidents, most particularly George H.W. Bush, Bush 41. He was best friend and confidant to some of the biggest names in politics and show business: Frank Sinatra, Elvis Presley, George Clooney, Matt Damon. He worked with all of them. He was kind and loving, and I'm telling you, he'll be missed by everyone who knew him. He was a great, great man. He was so skilled, so kind, so loving. Be missed by everyone who knew him or was touched by his enormous wisdom, his generosity. He stepped into my life and the lives of all the people he worked with. And he came particularly, specifically back into my life many times, long after we had no business relationship other than friendship, to offer me and mine advice, tangible assistance, sometimes hospitality. So condolences over the loss of Jerry Weintraub. You'll hear more news about him in the coming days as the memorial services gain momentum. Condolences to his wonderful wife, Jane, and the 4 kids. Eric and I, really, we weep for your loss. It is a tragedy, and I don't quite know what killed Jerry, other than I hope it's not a Joan Rivers situation.
You know, I was going to say that. Of course, you don't want to add to the family's sadness and misery, but it looks like there's going to be some sort of investigation into his death. It's not clear exactly what took place, getting a whole bunch of conflicting stories out of the hospital.
Now, did he die of a heart attack? I heard heart failure. Everybody dies of heart failure.
Right. No, there may be more to the story. I mean, I don't. Some what I'm reading is rumors. You know what I mean? None of it's defined, so I don't necessarily want to go into it. But anything you could go Google yourself and see.
Okay.
But there may be more to it. Maybe not. But just on just taking a glance at it, it seems like there may be. Let's hope it's not a Joan Rivers story, but it may be.
Having been away for the last few days. We had a good time. We had a good time seeing the fireworks. Took the boat out.
Yeah, that was a blast.
On Saturday night, Noam and his family, Pam, the kids, Marty, his beautiful daughter, Lauren, and Todd is
her husband. Yep.
Yeah, she's, eight months.
Your boat ride actually pushed 9 months.
9 months.
You sent her into foster. You really did. That boat ride.
Did it really?
Yeah, because she got home after the boat ride on July 4th, and she thought she might be going into labor. But she wasn't. It was
good for
labor.
Something. All right, we're going to get to your calls because this is what I really want to talk about, and I know you do too. I've been away for a few days, just back from visiting Grandma. If you have a chance, go check out some pictures of Grandma on my Facebook or Twitter.
She looks great. Website. That
Doesn't
picture
look amazing?
Of you and Erica and her, she looks really fantastic.
She... You know, Grandma's been through some hard times. She's had some falls and broken bones recently, but she's on the mend, and we have a brand-new mantra. You know, I was talking about George H.W. Bush and everything else. She's not 95 and three-quarters, so our new mantra is four more years. Four more years, because I'm convinced she'll make 100.
You know, there's that woman in Brooklyn who just turned 116 yesterday. Maybe she's going for the record.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, she's so resilient. It's so amazing to see her, mend up the way you think she couldn't possibly come back. This was broken and that was broken, and she just
the spirit, that's what it is,
keeps on yep. ticking. But here's what I know you want to talk about, and here's what I want to talk about. I felt badly that I've been out of touch, you know, these last few days. This is the first chance I've had publicly to talk about the undocumented immigrant who shot and killed 32-year-old Catherine Steinle, is that her name, the pronunciation? The American woman's 32 years old on that popular pier in San Francisco. So the undocumented immigrant, I don't know, finds a gun, he says, probably stole a gun, somehow gets a gun that belonged to a federal agent, I'm told. I mean, you've heard that. So the fact that this scumdog murderer was here illegally has enraged many in the media. And it's given credence, I think, and even further momentum to Donald Trump and his increasing obsession with his focus on illegal immigration as the principal theme of his still surprisingly successful presidential campaign. I mean, he's three polls I've seen. He's number two, and he's tied in two of the polls and tied for second in the third poll. And for the last 2 days, at least, this story, I mean, just watching with the sound off when I was working out, just watching CNN, it's like they're obsessing over the story of this illegal immigrant killing this beautiful woman, innocent woman, randomly, it seemed, almost for no purpose. I don't even think he was committing robbery, just shot her, killed her. And CNN's given it the kind of treatment that they previously reserved for missing airplanes. I mean, I saw Aaron Burnett yesterday, the 7 o'clock show. It's a very Wayne show, W-A-N. I mean, it's very colorless. I find it very flat. I mean, no disrespect to her. I thought she was fabulous when she worked for CNN, the CNBC rather. But anyway, enough about that. I don't want to get off point. The killer, the seven-time convict, five times deported. He should have been in jail or out of the country, not free to steal this gun or however he got the gun and use it in this senseless, outrageous murder of this totally innocent, wonderful person. Now, having said that, to use this bureaucratic incompetence and the fact that he was not successfully deported or behind bars as truth of my friend Donald Trump's view that Mexican immigrants are drug dealers and rapists is to further distort the debate. I mean, it's a deeply disturbing case, but it doesn't alter the fact, for example, that the vast majority of the undocumented immigrants are otherwise innocent and law-abiding, and they commit crimes at rates dramatically below those of citizen-born Americans. I mean, it's horrifying. I hate it. I hate it because I know how difficult it is to put it in any kind of perspective that makes sense. Because the person should not have been here. I get that. I get that. But to then use this example, this cretin, to use him as the example. I grieve for the loss in San Francisco of this poor woman, 32-year-old Catherine Steinle. But this does not define Mexican immigrants, this incident, any more than, for example, the three citizens who were killed last night near the campus of the University of Maryland in Baltimore by other citizens. That doesn't define the people of Baltimore. Now, Mark, I'm going to ask you to hold on. Steve, Eddie, too, I appreciate your calls to 866-HERALDO. Just stand by. Be patient. Let me take a quick intermission. I'll be right back with much more on this topic. 26 minutes after 10 o'clock. Welcome back. Good to be back. Had a nice time with Grandma in Florida. Listening to 77 WABC, the topic right now, I am deeply distressed by the fact that a person 7 times convicted, 5 times deported, murdered an absolutely innocent woman in San Francisco. I am dismayed that the horrifying incident, as always happens when there's one of these anecdotal incidents, they're all anecdotal, obviously, is used to make a broader point. The broader point in this case is that Donald Trump was right. Here's Daniela Marquez, an email I just got. Looks like the Donald was right, says Daniela, who has a Latina name. Looks like the Donald was right. I say, what I'm talking about doesn't alter the fact, this horrible case doesn't alter the fact that undocumented immigrants commit crimes at a lower rate than citizens, dramatically lower rate. Here in the United States, New York City is a classic example of that. I understand why people are outraged, though. I understand why, when this case is so egregious, you look at it and you say, it sounds like Trump is right, that the system itself is out of control. They talk about San Francisco being a sanctuary city and so forth. Again, I grieve for the life lost in San Francisco, but it does not define Mexican immigrants any more than the bloodshed that continues in the streets of, did you see Chicago this weekend? What, they had eight dead in Chicago? 41 wounded, 27 of them wounded, 3 killed in just 8 hours in Chicago. 4th of July weekend in Baltimore, 10 dead, 55 wounded. But the only murder that counts right now in this country is the murder of this young lady in San Francisco. I mean, I have not seen CNN devote the kind of obsessive attention to one story since the disappearance of that Malaysian airliner. I think it sets things back. I think it polarizes people politically. I think that it will hurt the Republican Party, the schism. One party will be the party pro-immigration. The other party will be the anti-immigration. That's the way it's going to shake out. Mark in New York, thank you very much for your patience. Thanks for holding you. My first call of the return to the microphone. What's on your mind today? Thanks for calling.
Well, Geraldo, good morning, sir. Welcome back. First off, we've spoken several times before, but I wanted to say to you, oh, I didn't get an invite to that drink-a-thon thing.
Oh, we'll get you next time. Next time.
I guess y'all didn't want to meet face-to-face.
Oh, anyway, no, we want to meet you next time.
It's not about the one case, Geraldo, and I think you're really doing a disservice to your audience. It's about the 347,000 convicted illegal aliens who have been released on our streets. 168,000 removal orders have been issued, and these people are still at large in the United States. That's the March 2nd, 2015 ICE report. It's also about the case in Arizona of a deported man six times, drunk driving, hit and injured a family, including two young children. It's also about an illegal alien deported five times who killed his wife with a hammer in Texas. You talk about sanctuary cities. This illegal immigrant in San Francisco has specifically said he knew that that was a San Francisco was a city of sanctuary for illegals. So he went there intentionally, knowing that he wouldn't be apprehended or deported.
Mark, I've got the news coming up. Sounds like a bootleg version. Toby Keith's birthday. Happy birthday, Toby. The Bill Cosby situation getting hot again with the revelation that he admitted back in 2005 that back in the 70s he had routinely brought women into his dressing room, slipped them some Quaaludes, the sex drug of the time.
I don't think he went as far as saying that he slipped them Quaaludes. I think he went as far as saying that he bought Quaaludes with the intent to give them to the women, but never actually officially answered the question, did you give them to the women?
So
he was a no comment on that.
I get you. So he didn't confess to the crime of giving them.
No, he said, I bought them with that intent, but he never, when they asked him, followed up the question with, did you give them to the women? His lawyer told him he didn't have to answer.
Be that as it may, it is no doubt that as you watch the, see the front pages of the tabloids and the various entertainment shows on TV, and the removal of a statue by Disney. Do you hear about that one?
Yeah.
What was that? Where was the statue?
I don't know. I just heard that headline. I can look it up. But
yeah, look it up. Where was it? I don't remember. I guess they have a Hall of Fame someplace.
And did I hear right that they're actually taking Cosby off of Nick at Night as well?
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah.
All right, going back, we're talking about the horrible case, I believe, someone, an illegal immigrant, seven-time convict, five-time deported. I want to make very clear who my constituency is in when it comes to undocumented immigrants. And then I'll get back to Mark and the rest of your calls at 866 or other. The President of the United States issued a very controversial executive order that has been stopped by the federal courts because of the violation alleged of an administrative regulation that said this is the process, and the Obama administration violated the process, allegedly the preponderance of the evidence indicating that they did. Therefore, the federal judge, a Republican, stopped the implementation of the executive order that would have given a kind of a yellow card to
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
More coffee? Cooling the sky. Champagne. More ice? Clink. You're welcome very much. Okay.
With people like Nancy, we built the largest airline in the free world.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much.
I think Nancy's taking the bus.
I think she is too.
All right. They grounded all their planes. I see they have just ended their ground stop. I mean, what happened? Did somebody hack into the computers of the Friendly Skies? Do we know, Numley?
We don't, but that's an awfully good guess. LOT Airlines, which is the Polish Airlines, had a similar incident happen to them last month. Someone hacked into their system. So it could be the exact same thing here.
It just shows you how vulnerable we are in this modern age, that a skilled computer hack, it could be some kid in his parents' basement with a trusty MacBook, can shut down, can humble an airline. They're writing boarding passes by hand. But evidently the ground hold, where they keep all the planes from leaving the gate where possible, and if they've already left the gate, they sit on the runway. So imagine if it were you flying from here to Chicago or vice versa, just stuck on the tarmac for 3 hours wanting to kill somebody. Well, if it's more than that, if it's something more interesting, we'll get back to it. I also want to probe this weekend's obsession over the horrible murder committed by the seven-time convicted, five-time deported illegal alien in San Francisco, illegal immigrant. I broke my own rule about using that phrase, that odious phrase, illegal alien. But the illegal immigrant, the undocumented immigrant, seven-time convicted, five-time deported. And as I knew it would, as soon as I heard about it, it's galvanized those who believe that the undocumented are the root of all evil. So I definitely want to discuss that at more great length and depth, and talk about also how Bill the Pill Cosby, what's going on with Cosby. I was going to do the homeless. I think I may, if we have time later on. But let me start. I want to start with a personal note. A dear friend and great man died yesterday, 77 years old. Jerry Weintraub was his name. He was my first agent. He was my guide in the early stages of my career, a mentor. He was really a friend for life. He had one of the great reputations in show business. He was the most trusted man in Hollywood, I think that's fair to say. Hugely successful producer. He was a confidant to presidents, most particularly George H.W. Bush. Bush 41. He was best friend and confidant to some of the biggest names in politics and show business, Frank Sinatra, Elvis Presley, George Clooney, Matt Damon. He worked with all of them. He was kind and loving, and I'm telling you, he'll be missed by everyone who knew him. He was a great, great man. He was so skilled, so kind, so loving. Be missed by everyone who knew him or was touched by his enormous wisdom, his generosity. He stepped into my life and the lives of all the people he worked with. And he came particularly, specifically back into my life many times, long after we had no business relationship other than friendship, to offer me and mine advice, tangible assistance, sometimes hospitality. So condolences over the loss of Jerry Weintraub. You'll hear more news about him in the coming days as the memorial services gain momentum. Condolences to his wonderful wife, Jane, and the four kids. Eric and I, really, we weep for your loss. It is a tragedy, and I don't quite know what killed Jerry other than... I hope it's not a Joan Rivers situation.
You know, I was going to say that. Of course, you don't want to add to the family's sadness and misery, but it looks like there's going to be some sort of investigation into his death. It's not clear exactly what took place, getting a whole bunch of conflicting stories out of the hospital.
Now, did he die of a heart attack? I heard heart failure. Everybody dies of heart failure.
Right. No, there may be more to the story. I mean, I don't. Some what I'm reading is rumors. You know what I mean? None of it's defined, so I don't necessarily want to go into it, but anything you could go Google yourself and see.
Okay.
But there may be more to it. Maybe not. But just taking a glance at it, it seems like there may be. Let's hope it's not a Joan Rivers story, but it may be.
Having been away for the last few days, we had a good time. We had a good time seeing the fireworks, took the boat out.
Yeah, that was a blast.
On Saturday night, Noam and his family, Pam, the kids, Marty, his beautiful daughter, Lauren, and Todd is his
husband.
Yeah, she's, eight months?
Well, your boat ride actually pushed 9 months.
Nine months.
You sent her into foster. You really did. That boat ride.
Did
sent
it really?
Her, yeah, because she got home after the boat ride on July 4th, and she thought she might be going into labor. But she wasn't.
Was good for labor. Something. All right, we're going to get to your calls because this is what I really want to talk about, and I know you do too. I've been away for a few days, just back from visiting Grandma. If you have a chance, go check out some pictures of Grandma on my Facebook or Twitter.
She looks great. Website. That Doesn't picture of amazing? You and Erica and her, she looks really fantastic.
She, you know, Grandma's been through some hard times. She's had some falls and broken bones recently, but she's on the mend, and we have a brand new mantra. You know, I was talking about George H.W. Bush and everything else. She's not 95 and three quarters, so our new mantra is four more years. Four more years. Because I'm convinced she'll make 100.
You know, there's that woman in Brooklyn who just turned 116 yesterday. Maybe she's going for the record.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, she's so resilient. It's so amazing to see her, you know, mend up the way you think it couldn't possibly. She couldn't possibly come back. This was broken and that was broken, and she just...
Well, the spirit, that's what it is.
Keeps on ticking. But here's what I know you want to talk about, and here's what I want to talk about. I felt badly that I've been out of touch, you know, these last few days. This is the first chance I've had publicly to talk about the undocumented immigrant who shot and killed 32-year-old Catherine Steinle. Is that her name, the pronunciation? The American woman, 32 years old. On that popular pier in San Francisco. So the undocumented immigrant, I don't know, finds a gun, he says, probably stole a gun, somehow gets a gun that belonged to a federal agent, I'm told. I mean, you've heard that. So the fact that this scumdog murderer was here illegally has enraged many in the media. And it's given credence, I think, and even further momentum to Donald Trump and his increasing obsession with his focus on illegal immigration as the principal theme of his still surprisingly successful presidential campaign. I mean, he's three polls I've seen, he's number two, and he's tied for in two of the polls and tied for second in the third poll. And for the last 2 days, at least, this story, I mean, just watching with the sound off when I was working out, just watching CNN, it's like they're obsessing over the story of this illegal immigrant killing this beautiful woman, innocent woman, randomly, it seemed, almost for no purpose. I don't even think he was committing robbery, just shot her, killed her. And CNN's given it the kind of treatment that they previously reserved for missing airplanes. I mean, I saw Aaron Burnett yesterday, the 7 o'clock show. It's a very Wayne show, W-A-N. I mean, it's very colorless. I find it very flat. I mean, no disrespect to her. I thought she was fabulous when she worked for CNN, the CNBC rather. But anyway, enough about that. I don't want to get off point. The killer, the seven-time convict, five times deported. He should have been in jail or out of the country, not free to steal this gun or however he got the gun and use it in this senseless, outrageous murder of this totally innocent, wonderful person. Now, having said that, to use this bureaucratic incompetence and the fact that he was not successfully deported or behind bars as truth of my friend Donald Trump's view that Mexican immigrants are drug dealers and rapists is to further distort the debate. I mean, it's a deeply disturbing case, but it doesn't alter the fact, for example, that the vast majority of the undocumented immigrants are otherwise innocent and law-abiding, and they commit crimes at rates dramatically below those of citizen-born Americans. I mean, it's horrifying. I hate it. I hate it because I know how difficult it is to put it in any kind of perspective that makes sense. Because the person should not have been here. I get that. But to then use this example, this cretin, to use him as the example. I grieve for the loss in San Francisco of this poor woman, 32-year-old Catherine Steinle. But this does not define Mexican immigrants, this incident, any more than, for example, the three citizens who were killed last night near the campus of the University of Maryland in Baltimore by other citizens. That doesn't define the people of Baltimore. Now, Mark, I'm going to ask you to hold on. Steve, Eddie, too, I appreciate your calls to 866-HERALDO. Just stand by. Be patient. Let me take a quick intermission. I'll be right back with much more on this topic. 26 minutes after 10 o'clock. Welcome back. Good to be back. Had a nice time with Grandma in Florida. Listening to 77 WABC, the topic right now, I am deeply distressed by the fact that a person seven times convicted, five times deported, murdered an absolutely innocent woman in San Francisco. I am dismayed that the horrifying incident, as always happens when there's one of these anecdotal incidents, they're all anecdotal, obviously, is used to make a broader point. The broader point in this case is that Donald Trump was right. Here's Daniela Marquez, an email I just got. Looks like the Donald was right, says Daniela, who has a Latina name. Looks like the Donald was right. I say, what I'm talking about doesn't alter the fact, this horrible case doesn't alter the fact that undocumented immigrants commit crimes at a lower rate than citizens, dramatically lower rate. Here in the United States, New York City is a classic example of that. I understand why people are outraged, though. I understand why, when this case is so egregious, you look at it and you say, it sounds like Trump is right, that the system itself is out of control. They talk about San Francisco being a sanctuary city and so forth. Again, I grieve for the life lost in San Francisco, but it does not define Mexican immigrants any more than the bloodshed that continues in the streets of, did you see Chicago this weekend? What, they had eight dead in Chicago? 41 wounded, 27 of them wounded, 3 killed in just 8 hours in Chicago. 4th of July weekend in Baltimore, 10 dead, 55 wounded. But the only murder that counts right now in this country is the murder of this young lady in San Francisco. I mean, I have not seen CNN devote the kind of obsessive attention to one story since the disappearance of that Malaysian airliner. I think it sets things back. I think it polarizes people politically. I think that it will hurt the Republican Party, the schism. One party will be the party pro-immigration. The other party will be the anti-immigration. That's the way it's going to shake out. Mark in New York, thank you very much for your patience. Thanks for holding you. My first call of the return to the microphone. What's on your mind today? Thanks for calling.
Well, Geraldo, good morning, sir. Welcome back. First off, we've spoken several times before, but I wanted to say to you, oh, I didn't get an invite to that drink-a-thon thing.
Oh, we'll get you next time. Next time.
I guess y'all didn't want to meet face-to-face.
Oh, no, we want to meet you next time.
It's not about the one case, Geraldo, and I think you're really doing a disservice to your audience. It's about the 347,000 convicted illegal aliens who have been released on our streets. 168,000 removal orders have been issued, and these people are still at large in the United States. That's the March 2nd, 2015 ICE report. It's also about the case in Arizona of a deported man six times, drunk driving, hit and injured a family, including two young children. It's also about an illegal alien deported five times who killed his wife with a hammer in Texas. You talk about sanctuary cities. This illegal immigrant in San Francisco has specifically said he knew that that was San Francisco was a city of sanctuary for illegals. So he went there intentionally. knowing that he wouldn't be apprehended or deported.
Mark, I've got the news coming up. Sounds like a bootleg version. Toby Keith's birthday. Happy birthday, Toby. The Bill Cosby situation getting hot again with the revelation that he admitted back in 2005 that back in the 70s he had routinely brought women into his dressing room, slipped them some Quaaludes, the sex drug of the time.
I don't think he went as far as saying that he slipped them Quaaludes. I think he went as far as saying that he bought Quaaludes with the intent to give them to the women, but never actually officially answered the question, did you give them to the women?
So
he was a no comment on that.
I get you. So he didn't confess to the crime of giving them.
No, he said, I bought them with that intent, but he never, when they asked him, followed up the question with, did you give them to the women? His lawyer told him he didn't have to answer.
Be that as it may, it is no doubt that as you watch the, see the front pages of the tabloids and the various entertainment shows on TV, and the removal of a statue by Disney. Do you hear about that one?
Yeah.
What was that? Where was the statue?
I don't know. I just heard that headline. I can look it up. But
yeah, look it up. Where was it? I don't remember. I guess they have a Hall of Fame someplace.
And did I hear right that they're actually taking Cosby off of Nick at Night as well? Was that one?
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah.
All right, going back, we're talking about the horrible case, I believe, someone, an illegal immigrant, 7-time convict, 5-time deported. I want to make very clear who my constituency is in when it comes to undocumented immigrants. And then I'll get back to Mark and the rest of your calls at 866-RALDO. The President of the United States issued a very controversial executive order that has been stopped by the federal courts because of the violation alleged of an administrative regulation that said this is the process, and the Obama administration violated the process, allegedly. The preponderance of the evidence indicating that they did, therefore the federal judge, a Republican, stopped the implementation of the executive order, that would have given a kind of a yellow card to undocumented immigrants in this country so they could come out of the shadows and work. Now, who was targeted by the executive order? That is who my constituents are in my own mind. People have been here for more than 10 years, have committed no crimes, have citizen-born children, are willing to pay back taxes if they haven't been paying taxes, and learn English and pay the fine, whatever it is. Those are the people. 10 years here, no crimes. That's my constituency. Are there amongst the at least 11 million, some say as many as 30 million. I don't know how many undocumented immigrants here. Are there criminals among them, like this this scumbag that killed this woman, this poor woman, 32-year-old Catherine Steinle in San Francisco? Of course there are. But every survey I have seen, if you've seen a different one, let me know. Every survey I've seen indicates that the undocumented commit fewer crimes than citizens. And if you want a story about violence, just look at Baltimore again and the usual suspects, and Baltimore, 3 dead last night in a city, in a tiny city, where the whole west side of town is 300,000. They've had 150-odd homicides already this year. That's the story of homicide. It's not the undocumented, but whenever you have an undocumented, whenever you have one of these distressing anecdotes, it fuels the generalities from people like Donald Trump. And Mark, I'm going to get right to you, but I also think that Donald Trump is being unfairly punished for his views. He's allowed to have his views. And for the city now to say that they are reviewing their contracts with Donald Trump over the golf course in the Bronx, Ferry Point, the two ice skating rinks, Wallman and the other one uptown, and the carousel at Central Park, because of what he said about Mexican immigrants, I think that is a violation of his First Amendment. I think it's way out of line. and all these various groups that are dropping him, and they have the right to do that, of course, but I'm not a big fan of boycotts. Everyone now from NBC, Univision, Macy's, NASCAR, Ben Huesen, the clothing company that manufactures his signature line, they dumped him. I mean, he's really paying a severe price for this, and I don't appreciate it.
It was eight or ten words, that sentence, and look what it's
done. And if he had just listened to me that night, we could have undone it. But cases like this outrageous case in San Francisco makes it seem, certainly to people who believe, as Trump does, that immigrants are the fount of all evil in this country, certainly fuels that fire, that impression. Mark, thank you very much for your patience. You had gone through the 168,000 removal orders when you got cut off by time.
No, that's okay.
You finished that thought?
I thank you for allowing me to continue. I wanted to make it very clear about something, though. I want to moderate just a little bit and say that I think we both agree that the immigration system is broken and we need to fix it.
Certainly someone who is a convict like this should be in jail.
I truly believe that there are Mexican-Americans here that love this country as much as I do and are here to work and provide a better life for their family. I wouldn't vote for Donald Trump. Let me make it clear. I wouldn't vote for Donald Trump unless he was the only Republican up against Hillary Clinton. And then I would
Fair enough.
He's not my first choice. So that being said, though, again, the generalization that you're making, that we're glomming onto this one story, I think it's a cumulative effect that's going on. I think there's a large percentage of the American, I'll say white population, and even the African-American population that have a built-in resentment to 30 million, 11 million, whatever the number is, that in most countries that would be considered an invasion if that many people came across your border, undocumented, if you want to say, and something would be done about it. What do we do to prevent the people being deported 4, 5, 3, 6 times from coming back if we're not going to build a wall? Even if we fix the immigration system so that we have good legal ways for them to come, how do we prevent those that are committing crimes?
It is a serious crime to come back once you've been deported. I mean, this fellow Francisco Lopez Sanchez, who committed this terrible crime in San Francisco, when he was deported in 2009, he returned 3 months later. He was stopped. Then he was prosecuted. There is a felony, unlike the initial cross. They give you one pass. If you come back after they throw you out, there's a felony of illegal entry. The guy went to federal prison and served 4 years for the felony of illegal entry. The problem was when he got out, he was rearrested on an old warrant. And, so the warrant was on a marijuana charge. They dropped the case. There was no federal warrant against him. That's why San Francisco let him free. I mean, if there was a federal warrant, then they wouldn't have. I mean, it fell through the cracks. It's a terrible example.
I still ask the final question, and I'll let you get to other callers. How do we fix those who have been deported from coming back if we don't build the wall? Now, again, I've already said let's do something to fix the immigration.
I got it, and I appreciate your thoughtfulness. You're really a clear thinking person. I appreciate that. You know, Trump wants to build a wall. You could build a wall. You know what happens when you build a 100-foot wall? A Mexican gets a 101-foot ladder. That's what happens. The wall's not going to keep them out. You definitely need some responsibility on the part of the Mexican government. Trump's right about that. Let the Mexican government foot the bill. They know what's happening. So let the Mexican government, or if it's the Guatemalan government, or the Honduran government, or the Salvadoran government. They get aid from the United States, many of these. There has to be a consequence officially. That's how you stop them. You've got to have policies south of the border that discourage the immigration. Now they encourage it because when they get here, they remit, is the verb, money back home to take care of their relatives back home. So they encourage this process that is so disruptive to the United States, allowing everyone to pass through. And then they get here, they get established, they make money, they send money back to support, you know, Juana Maria back in Oaxaca. So the government in the Republic of Mexico and the others have to be responsible. I get that. But what I don't like and what is infuriating to me, I mean, when I saw CNN and I saw the undocumented immigrant commits murder logo on the screen for 15 minutes. It was there. Undocumented immigrant commits murder. I mean, if it was like an Irish guy commits murder, you're going to have an Irish guy commits murder. Black guy commits murder. Jew commits murder. I mean, it is so obvious what people are doing. It's so obvious to me. Don't give me at that and pretend that you're doing anything other than fanning the flames and trying to go back to your glory days when people were obsessing about illegal immigration, particularly in 07 and leading up to the 08 election. That's where it started. And tell me that you're just innocently describing this terrible crime. Yeah. There were three people murdered in Baltimore last night. Did you talk about that, CNN? At all? Did you mention that? How about the story here in New York, in the Bronx, where the father is holding the little girl and he gets shot dead holding the little girl in his arms? Don't tell me that this is a crime report, that this is a straight factual, there's a perp and a victim and we're just telling you. It's not that. We know what you're doing. 50 minutes after 10. But that loss in San Francisco, that life lost in San Francisco, it does not define Mexican immigrants any more than Donald Trump defined Mexican immigrants, calling everyone drug dealers and rapists, and he assumed some good people. It doesn't define them any more than the three black people killed near the campus of the University of Maryland in Baltimore last night by other citizens defines America's native-born minority communities. It's a terrible incident that happened. But the way it's being, in some ways, exploited, making it the political football of this early phase of the presidential campaign, I think is way out of line. We'll talk about that. I want to talk very much about Bill Cosby back in the news in a way that he, I am sure, regrets. We'll talk about regrets and other things when we come back after this. I just want to read this before I get on to the Cosby topic. Gunmen got out of two vans, began firing at a group gathered on the corner Tuesday night, last night. Two gunmen shot a total of four people. Three of them died. He also had a fatal shooting overnight. All of this happening in Baltimore. So he had three shooting deaths and a separate fatal stabbing. So now the total homicides in Baltimore, where, as you know, I covered the riots following the death of Freddie Gray. Total homicides, 155. And you never hear about it, right? You don't hear about it. This is a 48% increase over last time, the same time last year. 86% higher shooting, 48% higher death murder rate. And this is spiking all since the death of Freddie Gray. So imagine that you've got a ghetto civil war happening here. This is a ghetto civil war, and no one's paying any attention to it. No rap songs are being sung about it. It didn't open the BET Awards. No, what opened the BET Awards was the kid standing on the police car talking about how cops kill black people. This is the civil rights issue of our time. No one's paying any attention to it outside of Baltimore, where mostly they're embarrassed. So the obsession over the Mexican immigrant, the scumbag murdering dog who killed that innocent 32-year-old. I mean, it's being used now to generalize. It's become a presidential issue. No one is talking about the river of blood that flows through the inner city. A lot of people talking about Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby now with the release of this sealed transcript from 2005 in which he jokes. All right, so here's, he acknowledged having sex, joked about whether the 19-year-old in Las Vegas was lucid at the time. Here's the quote from the deposition. "I give her quaaludes," says Cosby. "We then have sex." The lawyer asks about the teenager's mental state. Cosby replies, "How do I know she was in a dreamlike state? Isn't that introspective?" He's being a wise ass. So it goes on and on, but mainly, yuck, creep, Cosby was mugging during his testimony. This is all New York Post, the Daily News has it. Everyone's got it now. Lisa Darden, wonderful commentator, pop culture, politics, she talks about it all. She keeps it real, straight, no chaser. Here's the issue. Should the black community stand behind Bill Cosby after he admitted drugging women for sex?
Absolutely not, Geraldo. Bill Cosby is the nastiest man in America. This dude ran around terrorizing the community with his penis. Is he serious? You're going to drug people and then say she was in a dreamlike state? First of all, we've established that if a person is drunk and has blacked out and you have sex with them, that's classified as rape. And you gave individuals quaaludes? What people need to understand is, don't keep saying, well, you know, they weren't fun and forth. That's sex with Bill Cosby for power. Bill Cosby was having sex with his wife. He was having sex with extramarital affairs and concubines. And he was raping people. He was doing a literal trifecta. So don't try to make rape the same thing as sex. It's not about sex. This man has no desire for sexual activity. He had loads of sexual sex. This is about power and control. He was literally raping these women. And I knew once Beverly Johnson stood up and said he was also on those places.
Beverly Johnson, the fame model, he used to live in my apartment, my old apartment.
Last year, the end of the year, when they kept saying, well, little space about women, they're lying, they want money. Well, Beverly Johnson has her own money. She came out with her experience. Her book was due to come out, but she doesn't need his money. When she said it, that was total credibility. And now.
Okay, Lisa, like, slow down. Now, don't you feel a bit dismayed over the fact that he really was? When I was talking about urban crime before, I think that Bill Cosby was such a sane, sober, reasoned dad. He was America's dad. He was a wonderful role model, we thought. I mean, isn't that heartbreaking?
Yes, and listen, Lisa Darden has to apologize to her community because I used to bash black people when they were mad at Bill Cosby running around in the hood on his tour talking about how we need to take care of our kids, stop having babies and getting education. He was doing that tour. Every black person was angered by him because it felt like he was, you know, on his moral high ground. I defended him. And I said, no, but he's a black man, and he can go around and tell us what to do because he's from the hood, and he knows the right thing to do. Boy, am I eating my words, and it's got to taste delicious because the man cannot be telling us what to do, and the whole time he was raping people. Are you serious?
All right, Lisa Darden, African-American pop culture political commentator, is on board. She's not having any of Cosby's stellar reputation and denial.
No.
She thinks that the weight of the evidence is tipped. But what do you make of our friend, my friend, certainly over the years, Whoopi Goldberg? She's refusing to, and so is Raven Simone. They're refusing to go along with Cosby being a serial rapist until he's convicted in court.
Well, I'm going to get some angry people up there, but I actually do agree with her, agree and disagree. I do believe that we should deal with due process. A person should be considered innocent until proven guilty. But here are their, so I do agree with her theory, but here are two issues. Number one, he'll never be prosecuted for the rape because they're past the statute of limitations. So we'll never see that prosecution. And number two, Lisa Durden, don't give a crap. I think he's guilty, and I'm going to go roll for my thoughts through the process. I feel he's guilty, and I'm going to say it loud and proud.
Did you say screw the process?
Lisa Durden says screw the process, because here's my thing. I'm so fed up with people treating rape as something very simple that any rape victim, I don't care if it was my own brother, who said, if somebody says my brother raped him, until I know for sure he didn't, I've got to side with the racist until I know otherwise. And if I'm incorrect, I'll just apologize. But right now, you're guilty, says Lisa Durden. You didn't get the memo. Boom.
Lisa, we got you. Your quality of your audio, not great, but we got the message, and your rage comes through loud and clear. Thanks, Lisa Durden, African-American pop culture political commentator. We're going to make her like our go-to lady when you have these She's big great. Social issues. She's terrific. All right, Susan, thanks for holding on in Brooklyn. Thanks for calling 866-RALDO. What's on your mind today?
Well, you talk about, illegal Mexican immigrants.
Right.
But what about all the legal immigrants? And I think that this is where Trump, he did make a mistake the way he articulated, but I think he was on the top of his mind was talking about the illegal problem that we have. He did say a lot of good people come across. If he would have just, as you told him, if he would have just led with that and then gone into the idea that there are these issues with illegals. But what about Mexico? How do they treat the people coming up through Guatemala? I believe their prison or their something very harsh happens to them. And that Rudy Giuliani has had some good ideas about, having a certain number of illegal immigrants that actually are doing the jobs that that maybe we can't fill from our current population if they're fingerprinted, if they're photographed, if we pay taxes. So there is some middle ground here. And I think that you're just pounding on that this is Trump's only initiative, which of course it isn't. But
I love the guy.
I think a beautiful woman being murdered.
Yeah, I'm not picking on Trump. I think that Trump made a mistake. He's painted himself in a corner with this illegal immigration, and I don't think that this case is going to be particularly helpful because it will just heighten the contradiction. It'll polarize the sides. There's no chance of compromise. It's going to be a disaster, I think. When all is said and done, Hillary Clinton, Susan, thank you. Hillary Clinton has been very clear that she stands for a path to citizenship for the undocumented immigrants. I get sick of talking about it. But, this will be a major, major issue in the political campaign, in the presidential campaign. And it's going to keep bringing up issues of race and racism and separating and generalizing and stereotyping and all of that stuff is still going to be living with us. One quickie here for Pensacola. Thanks for holding on, Steve. What's up?
Geraldo, it's difficult for me to agree with you, but I have to tell you when you're right, you're right. And with Trump, you're right. Look, one of the things that you'll never
So what are you doing in Pensacola anyway?
Oh, first of all, it's the Pensacola Air Show, Navy Blue Angel Air Show.
Oh, fabulous.
This whole weekend. So if you hear a F-16 come by and you get flashbacks.
Okay. What happened with that F-16 and that Cessna in the D.C. area?
Oh, that was horrible. It was just unbelievable.
What was that? Was it the Cessna's fault or the jets?
I'm more likely it's going to be the Cessna's fault, particularly in the airspace. Most military air jets have, obviously priority when it kind of just like your sailboat in the water, you have the right of way. And with military aircraft, particularly in airspace, it's going to no doubt Cessna probably veered off course. I'm not going to withhold judgment. Obviously, our military makes mistakes once in a while.
Okay, now I took you off your point. Make it quickly.
Look, I'm a former government official, and it's not about the illegal immigration. It's not about the Confederate flag and that horrible situation in Charleston. It's about mental health. And, you can talk about sanctuary cities, and you'll never hear these presidential candidates talk about how local officials and state officials are being burdened with mental health issues, with these people that have serious issues that are on our streets.
Well, that's for sure. Steve, I'm way over time, but I appreciate it.
One other thing is the class of that father of that young lady is untouchable.
It is amazing. The family's been amazing. Just a beautiful, beautiful family, and we weep for them. Steve, thanks. 866-RALDO, 866-437-2536. Nice to be back here behind the microphone. Nice to start the week on a Wednesday.
Yeah, really.
I tell you that much. Hey, Chris, thank you very much for calling. Chris in New York, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. With the Donald Trump, I'm getting sick of talking about it, but everybody knows on the right or whatever that Donald Trump speaks from his heart. He wasn't reading a teleprompter. When he said all Mexicans, he didn't mean all Mexicans. People on the left want
to pound that. I agree. He could not have and should have amended his statements. He could have easily corrected himself. Instead, he dug in. He's a very stubborn guy.
Right,
as much as I love him, he's one of the most stubborn men I know.
I mean, we should be so grateful that he would be willing to donate 4 years or 8 years of his life to this country. He doesn't need anything that the presidency can offer him. I mean, he just loves his country. What, he needs a private plane to fly on?
I would love to have a private conversation. You're probably right, Chris, and thank you.
It's such a gift, even if he only does it for 4 years.
I think that he's would be very good at managing a lot of things that the president has to manage. I agree with that, Chris. His intemperate reaction to this scandal does not bode well for how he would handle other crises. And I wonder, you know, in the secret moments, if you asked him if it was all worth it, given all that he has been through already and subjecting his family to. It's been some rough stuff out there. I want to get back to it, and I'm going to get to your calls momentarily. I appreciate that you're calling. I see the lines, phones ringing off the hook. I'm going to get right to that. But did you see this thing about Jared, the subway pitch man?
Yeah.
The guy who was huge and flabby.
He was like 400 pounds. He started eating these sandwiches every day for like a couple of years maybe, and then lost 200 pounds eating only Subway sandwiches every day.
And he became like the real pitch man. He made Subway. I mean, in many ways.
Oh, yeah.
I never even heard about it before, this big fat guy. And then he lost all the weight. And he's a child pornographer, is that? I mean,
well, no,
a
it's
consumer.
Somebody, and he has a foundation that helps kids who are overweight. And somebody within that foundation, they've been, I guess, looking over his computers and think that he may have been downloading or involved in child pornography. And so they were up searching Jared's house. Don't know. He may be connected, but it's not clear yet if he is connected. Nobody's saying anything.
But the FBI raided his home in Indiana.
They did.
And that came 2 months after a friend of his got arrested on charges involving hundreds of these vile child porn videos.
Right, but Jared himself has not been arrested.
Not been arrested, no. Although they raided his house.
They did. But is it possible? We don't know, but is it possible that it's in connection with the crimes?
I have no idea, but I know
that this foundation person was involved in. We don't know.
We're talking about all these businesses shedding the connection to Donald Trump. Subway dropped Jared, who was their central focus of everything.
What's interesting, they didn't drop him. They suspended the agreement for now. So they're giving it time.
They scrubbed the website. He doesn't appear on the website.
I understand that, but they were very careful to say they suspended the agreement as opposed to cutting him off completely, because if nothing's involved here, they may bring him back.
Which was the Who, the band, the Who?
Oh, Roger Daltrey?
Not Roger Daltrey.
It was Peter Townsend?
Peter Townsend, yeah. But I didn't hear anything more about that. I think it finally just went away. But it's the most devastating embarrassment. I mean, DUI is bad, but searching for child porn computer, much worse.
Worse, of course, if the accusation's not true, if he's not involved.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? But why would they raid his home? Why would they raid his... And the poor guy is not talking to anybody. That's the worst thing you can do, is not talk to anybody. You've got to go to the public and say, you've been hearing all these awful things. I want to assure you that, you know.
You would tell him as a lawyer to say that? Or would you tell him to dumb me up?
You can't. Some things you can't dumb me up, man. They just don't go away. I mean, child porn is one of them.
The Tri-State's most important issues with Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
So there's an op-ed, President Trump, Just Say No, by a guy named Peter Werner. He's a senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, and he served in the last three Republican administrations as a contributing writer. He says, Trump's erratic and conspiratorial temperament. There's also the matter of Trump's erratic and conspiratorial temperament. He believes massive vaccinations cause autism. The doctors lied. He was the most prominent person in America pushing the theory that President Obama, a psycho and maybe a Muslim, might not be a natural-born American citizen, and he delights in making malicious statements. He's absolutely sure, for example, that Mexicans crossing our southern border are drug dealers and rapists, but he can only assume that there are some good people crossing the border as well. All right, Trump, and then the writer, finally, goes on to say, Trump would later say that many fabulous people come in from Mexico, and I get along great with Mexico. I get along great. All right, so it goes on. But Trump, I don't know. Have you assessed what you think the net impact of all this is?
You asking me? Oh, I think it's awful for the Republican Party. I think on one level he adds a voice that's not being heard because he can say whatever he wants. But at the same time, then his fellow Republicans feel like they have to answer for him, even though they don't agree with what he has to say a lot of times or a fair amount of the time.
Is there Joan on the line? Hello, Joan.
Oh, I really wish you would stop saying that Trump said all these Mexicans are drug dealers. He did not say that. He said a large portion are rapists and criminals of some kind. And you keep saying that he referred to all the Mexicans as drug dealers and criminals. He did not say that. So why don't you speak the truth?
Well, I didn't know that I wasn't. He said, I have the quote. Where's the quote? All right, drug dealers and rapists, but I can assume that there are some good people. All right, Joan. I mean, we like him. We want him to fix it. We don't want to hurt him. He's hurt himself, though. Al, what's up, Al in New Jersey?
Yeah, Rob, you're right and you're wrong about the killing of the young lady, Kate, in California. You're right that that is not absolutely not representative of those immigrants from South America, Mexico, and around the world. However, where you're wrong, it is representative of the local and the federal policy of catch and release and deport and deport and deport violent felons. And that's the issue that we...
I hear that, but as I understand it, the felony of recrossing is very severe, and even in the San Francisco case, the guy was convicted of felony reentry and did 4 years hard time as a result of it. I mean, I understand that sanctuary cities like New York, they demand that the feds have a warrant before they hold someone now on a deportation... they don't do it anymore unless there's paperwork involved and a warrant alleging a crime other than the illegal presence. I think that they screwed up here. And I think this is the last time I'm going to talk about immigration because it's a circular kind of debate. I don't think I'm going to convince anybody, and you're not going to convince me that we have to treat these people as criminals. Generally speaking, I think they do a wonderful, wonderful service for this country. And I don't think they affect in a negative way our economy in any way. I mean, yes, they are a burden sometimes, but the studies, according to the Congressional Budget Office, show they do more for revenue than they do in terms of costs. And in terms of crime, I've said it till I'm blue in the face. They commit fewer crimes than citizens. Then it's not going to change anybody's opinion about it. And Trump, and I hate people when they say it remains to be seen, but I am not at all convinced that all of this controversy has fared well for Donald Trump. I think that rather than emphasizing his business acumen, his organizational skills, his creativity, his energy, his intellect, it is focused on a small aspect of his personality that appeals to a fringe element that cannot get him elected to anything. It might help him in the Iowa caucuses, but I don't even think it's going to help there particularly. I guess the big benefit in the short term is that it's helping Trump make the first cut of who's going to be on the stage when only 10 candidates can be on the stage when the Republicans have their first debate about 3 months from now. The trading halt on the New York Stock Exchange, I don't know why. The market's down 175, which is severe, But why has trading halted? I mean, that is more problematic. No, you check that out. That's more problematic, a lot more problematic to me than the fact that we had a problem with American, with United Airlines today. This is the halt now in its fifth minute. Trading halted on the New York Stock Exchange. Now, they do that. They do that. Can you call up Charlie Gasparino at Fox Business for me right now? Marty, let's find out what in the world is going on. The as a person whose essential wealth is in the stock market, I am extremely concerned. What do you know?
I'm just watching like you are, though. I'm looking at the numbers, and the numbers continue to unfortunately, they're ticking down, but I'm seeing the Dow numbers go down. So if it is halted, the numbers that we watch for the Dow are continue to go down. So
let us take a break. We're going to try and find out why trading has halted on the New York Stock Exchange. We'll be right back to you. Trading in all securities has been temporarily suspended on the New York Stock Exchange. The halt began at 11:32. We were speculating whether it was something substantive, like a lot of people trying to sell their stock because the Chinese market has crashed. But that apparently is not the case. Now they're saying that technical issues are to blame for the floor-wide trading halt. Trading halted because of technical reasons. Now, remember, you had United Airlines shut down for technical reasons. All flight reservations, when their computer crashed, they said it was, quote-unquote, connectivity issues in United. Now, here's the New York Stock Exchange. What are they saying? No,
they're saying the exact same words. Those words were the words they used about 10 minutes ago. Art Cashin, who's the director of floor operations at the New York Stock Exchange, saying that we have connectivity issues. And that was the reason they halted the market. Of course, people were wondering because the market had plunged this morning, almost 1%, 175 points lower in trading when they halted the market. But no, he's saying it is connectivity issues. And yeah, you, of course, start to wonder. You had United Airlines, a big ripple this morning there until they were able to get back up a couple hours down, now trying to catch up. And here we have the stock exchange in the same mode, you know, trading shut down at least now for some 20 minutes.
All right. So first of all, let's clear up the United Airlines. Deborah Valentine, are you on the line? Our reporter, Deborah Valentine, is at the airport on the earlier issue, United. Are they telling you any more, Deb, about why they shut down the airline?
Geraldo, United Airline officials are saying about 3,500 flights were affected nationwide. Now, the reason for this ground stop was because of a connectivity issue, a computer glitch, a network connectivity issue this morning causing these huge delays, more than 3,500 flights affected nationwide. Now, here at Terminal C at Newark International Airport, I'm reading the flight arrival and departure board. Now, I'd say about 90 of these flights arriving and departing here now are actually coming in on time. I see only three or four delays here on the board, one from Washington, another one from North Carolina. I managed to speak with a couple travelers coming in who were affected by this. One, Sandra Dacco, she's from Ridgewood, New Jersey. She was flying in from Ireland. She said, well, her flight was seamless. Upon landing, she heard announcements about the delays, so all the cancellations on the board. She said her heart really goes out to folks who were disrupted. And I also had a moment. Jeff Hyde was coming out of the terminal, looked really tired. He was flying from San Francisco here to Newark International Airport. He's been here since 5 o'clock this morning. He was just finally getting in a cab after he finally got his luggage. He's been here since 5 o'clock this morning, flying from San Francisco here to Newark International Airport. Tried to get a flight to Albany, New York at 8 a.m. this morning. It was canceled, frustrated. He finally came out with his bags and his girlfriend after facing hours of delays and got in a cab to stay with friends until he can at least get a flight tomorrow. So things are beginning to turn back to normal here at Newark International Airport. This ground stop affecting over 3,500 flights, all because of a computer glitch. Geraldo.
Deb Valentine at Newark Airport. Thank you very much, Deb. Computer glitch, but was it, you have to think it. And I think this about the whole world. We hang by this fragile cloud. You know, everything is the cloud, the internet, everybody is, that's the connectivity they're talking about. It's the connectivity to the internet. All these businesses now are web-based. You see the chaos when they try to start writing boarding passes by hand. And what about now they're emphasizing technical issues have triggered the system-wide halt at the NYSE, at the New York Stock Exchange. I'm telling you, it could be like one guy, a gang of guys, that you'll take on the airline. Then you take on the New York Stock Exchange. How much more can you disrupt life? Aren't the traffic lights, isn't air traffic control, isn't it all about connectivity?
It is. Yeah, sure is. You know, we're hearing a little bit more from Art Cashin, the director of floor operations at the New York Stock Exchange. He's now going on to say, we had some technical malfunctions. Some may be related to connectivity with other exchanges. He says, I believe we're going to have a temporary pause, certainly in a variety of stops. It's going to be floor-wide. And then he goes on to say that he doesn't think this halt will cause a move in a particular direction when they're able to get it back up again. Of course, the Dow down 175 points when this pause began.
Now it's 228. I don't know how it drops when they're not trading.
Maybe it's catching up. I don't know either. I can't answer that question.
I can't answer it. But stocks down now 218. We'll stay all over this. Stay tuned to 77 WABC.